I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top.
What is going on, everyone? It is JJ's Football Fix returning for another week after a week off for the international break. Everyone is happy that the EPL is returning. Starting off with the Manchester Derby tonight, but before we get into that, I have to introduce my co-host, the illustrious Jake White. How are you, mate?
I'm not too bad, mate. How are you?
Very good. Happy to be back for the JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything EPL, brought to you by the Oz FIFA podcast. Got to get the plug in for the sponsors. Check it out, ozfifa.com, on my SoundCloud, so get around that. But we started off with the last week's fixtures. Saturday night, first game, we had Tottenham versus Liverpool. Pretty decent game. Probably didn't live up to the hype that we were hoping it did, but it was still a good game nonetheless, with Tottenham coming back into it after a early James Milner penalty. Danny Rose scoring from the left-hand side after a good ball in from Lamela from the right. You watched this game, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I reckon Liverpool probably deserved to win in the end, but I don't really care. I'm happy that it was a draw because both teams will probably be rivaling with Everton this season for spots. It was a good game, but at the same time, could have been a lot better. It was pretty scrappy, but Liverpool did deserve the 3 points. They had a offside goal, I think, wrongly given offside. But, yeah, I reckon the game probably should have ended a draw because Tottenham were decent, but at the same time, if there was a better team, it was Liverpool.
Well, the probability of a draw was pretty high considering the statistics read 4 shots on target for each team, 6 shots off target for each team, and 50% possession. So, I mean, if you want to go off statistics, that's probably about as even as they come. Now, into the next game, we have Chelsea demoralising Burnley here, 3-0. Great use of words. Victor Moses, we brought him up in last week's, or 2 weeks ago, podcast, saying good to see him scoring after returning to Chelsea, but he scored again, and he's actually making a name for himself at old Chelsea, coming off the bench in each of the games so far. But Hazard opened the scoring with a great run and goal. Willian scored the second, and before our man Victor Moses converted the third to give Chelsea their undefeated start to the season. 3 wins from 3 games, and they look pretty good this season.
Yeah, Chelsea are good. They're doing a lot better than I thought they would. Like, I had them in the top 4, but I thought they'd start pretty slow and then just try and pick it up. But 3 wins from 3, you can't really complain. No, they were good. They probably should have won by more than 3 in the end. They had a fair few good chances. But, yeah, they're looking good. Hazard looks like he's back after having an off-season last season. And, yeah, well, everyone's talking about City and United, but I think Chelsea could have something to say about that this season.
Well, it's so good, isn't it, having those three teams that are so competitive and so close to each other. You know, they're all being 3-0 at the start of the season. So it could be a really good season and one of the most competitive yet. Mm. On to the next game, Crystal Palace 1, AFC Bournemouth 1. Not too much to say about this game apart from the fact that Crystal Palace are still pretty mediocre this season despite making the flurry of signings late in the deadline. They escaped with a draw here with Scott Dan heading home on 90 minutes. I think it was actually pretty much at the end of the game, about 2 or 3 minutes into stoppage time.
I'm pretty sure it was like the last touch or something.
Yeah, after Johan Kabay missed a penalty early in the first half and Josh King had given Bournemouth the lead. In regards to statistics, Palace probably deserved to win. I didn't watch the game, so I can't say too much about it. I don't know if you saw any of the goals, maybe?
No, I saw Scott Dan's header. I'm not going to say it was a decent game because I have no idea, but Palace have changed stuff. Like, they needed to make a few signings. They got Benteke in, which is a good signing. They got Remy in, but Remy's injured again, so he's back at Chelsea for a few weeks or a month or so doing the training there because he's on loan. Palace needed to change stuff, and they've changed things. They've finally got a point now as well. And they've got Flamini in as well, I'm pretty sure. but they got him in a few days ago on as a free agent.
Good signing.
But I don't know about Palace at the moment. They've got to start getting the points on the board, because if they pick up a few more losses on the trot, or a few, just even a few draws, they're going to really fall away from that pack that's going to be pushing on in the top, like, 13, 14. And you don't really want to fall behind in that pack early in the season.
Exactly. On to Everton v Stoke. Our mob played pretty good footy. Probably should have won by more than one. We had a dubious amount of chances throughout the game. Leighton Baines missing the penalty, but being converted by Shea Given, which is always good. So the 1-0 win for Everton. I thought Stoke showed a bit of resistance late on. Stecklenburg made a pretty decent save off Arnautovic. Apart from that, Stoke didn't really offer too much in those patches of the game, and Everton dominated possession and the chances. So a win's a win. We'll take it. But, you know, you'd rather see us win by a bit more, to be honest.
Yeah, well, like you said, we should have won by a lot more, but I'm not going to complain. 3 points is 3 points. And that's where we've been struggling the last few seasons of the Martinez, is we've been dominating shots and possession, but haven't been getting 3 points, and that's been our main issue. But we're picking up 3 points, which is the main thing now, and it was so important to be able to get 3 points before the international break, because no one really wants to go into the international break on the back of a draw where they should have won, or even a loss when they should have won. So, yeah, we got away with it with the penalty, which I think was a very, very soft penalty. Yeah, but this fixture always seems to have penalties. That's three fixtures in a row at Accrington Park against Stoke that there has been a penalty involved in the match, is my statistic for the week.
Nice stat. Nice. I like it.
But, yeah, nah, I'm happy to get the 3 points. Stoke were good, but they were missing a few players at the same time, so I wouldn't really judge Stoke too much on this game. I still think they're probably a top 10 team, maybe a 10th or 11th, I don't know. They're a decent team, but I think we did deserve these 3 points.
Speaking of deserving 3 points, Leicester City v Swansea, a 2-1 victory for Leicester City. Jamie Vardy opened the scoring from a tight angle, hitting the post, the inside post, and ricocheting it into the back of the net. Wes Morgan scored, assisted by Robert Huth, so not sure how that went, but it's pretty good. Riyad Mahrez then stepped up and had a penalty saved by Fabianski before Leroy Fer rocketed a header in late on, 81 minutes, to give Swansea a little bit of hope, but ultimately wasn't enough. As Leicester have an okay start to the season. That was their first win of the season, albeit they've had two pretty tough games, you could say. Hull City.
It's Hull.
Yep. they currently sit ninth. I think they're doing okay. They've definitely, you know, had good patches in games. They're obviously not going to recreate the feats they went to last season, but if they can, you know, stick around that 8th or 9th mark on the table, I would say that's a pretty successful season.
Yeah, well, it was an important win for them, to be honest, because if they're going to go into the international break on the back of, say, a loss and two draws, it's like, I know Leicester winning the title was a surprise and all that stuff, and they're not going to do it again this season, but if they had gone into the international break on the back of 2 points or 1 point, then they could have been finding themselves in a bit of strife. But no, they needed the 3 points and they got the 3 points. It's probably a deserved 3 points. I didn't watch the game, but it's probably deserved 3 points looking at the stats. Yeah, they got the 3 points.
That's clarifying.
Yeah, right. they needed it and they got it.
On to Southampton v Sunderland. Disappointing display from Southampton, just getting the 1-1 result against Sunderland. Jermaine Defoe actually put Sunderland ahead late on from the penalty spot, before James Rodriguez from Southampton, aka J. Rodriguez, scored a pretty decent goal in for Southampton on the 85th minute. When I say that, I can't remember if it was a decent goal. All I remember is the goalkeeper from Sunderland just making a blunder. But in saying that, you know, Sunderland dominated statistics, had 14 shots to 4, 54% possession, Just couldn't find that goal to put them in front, and ultimately had to settle for a draw after finding themselves down pretty late on.
I didn't watch any of this game either. I tipped a draw, actually, so I was pretty
Hey, you're good at that. You're good at tipping.
I am. I'm really good at tipping. but James Rodriguez popped up. I can't really say much on this game. The two clubs that I'm not going to be too excited about watching games this season. And it was a 1-1 draw. Okay, well done. And then...
Certainly a downward spiral for Southampton, you know, considering how much they promised last season was such a good season they had. Then they just lost, you know, Mane, Ronald Koeman, a couple of other players in there, just part of ways with the club. And now it's only early days, 3 games in, but they are sitting 15th with just the 2 points on the board. So yeah, we'll see what happens from here on in. But, you know, those 2 home games against Watford and Sunderland, you'd expect a team like Southampton to get the win. So, it is what it is. On to the next game. Watford 1, Arsenal 3. We know that we had a few boys in our group chat going completely nuts about Arsenal on Facebook, but saying it should have been 6 or 7. That was at halftime, so maybe not. But in saying that, they did have a very good first half. Santi Cazorla scoring from the spot 9 minutes in. Alexis Sanchez scoring the second on the 40th minute before Mesut Ozil scored in the 45th minute. Pretty quiet second half with just the 1 goal. Robert Pereira scoring in the 57th minute. I'm not sure if that's Robert Pereira. Is he from Juventus?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's a decent player. That's a good pickup for Watford. Scoring his first goal for Watford, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, his first game.
In the 57th minute. Just came off the bench 10 minutes earlier. So, good impact from him. He'll be off to Man United next season. what are your thoughts on the game?
Well, same situation really with Leicester, in my opinion. Because if they had have gone into the international break on the back of 1 point or 2 points, then they could find themselves in a bit of strife as well. But they netted the 3 points, and like I've said a fair few times in the podcast so far, they got the 3 points.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. They certainly did. 3-1. But they played all right from what I heard. I'm not going to sit here and say that I watched the game, because, again, I didn't, because all these games were all on the same time as Everton. They needed the win, and Sparta was pretty stoked that they got the win as well.
Sparta being one of our best mates, to all those who have no idea what we're talking about.
Big Alexander. Arsenal going to look good now after they've made them a few signings as well. And it's important that they got the win.
It is. And we're on to the Hull United game. let us know if you think Hull United is a good name for a team. We certainly think so. Hull City 0, Man United 1. Everyone actually thought that Hull were going to win this game for some reason. I have no idea why, but they did.
If they had won that game.
They did push them until the 90th minute, where everyone's favourite player, for some reason, although he's young and he's good, I'm not going to say anything else. He's probably going to be a superstar. Marcus Rashford popped up with a 90th minute goal in the second minute of stoppage time. After a good run from Rooney, just tapped in. Just pretty unmarked, about 4 yards out to give him the
pretty
win.
Pretty unmarked, 4 yards out, the 92nd minute.
Yeah, well, what does that say about Hull? They're going down.
Finally.
Man United dominated. They had 19 shots on goal, 66% possession, 6 corners to 1. So, and if you want to do even more statistics, they actually had 2 offsides and Hull had 0. So, yeah.
You can go even further into statistics and say 3 yellow cards to 2 as well. So, they've even won on that front.
Oh, settle down. They're even won the substitute count. So,
41 crosses to 7. Jeez, we could go all day.
Jeez, that is Stoke City-esque. But yeah, United deserved the win on all statistics. Except Ooh. For fouls. Hull actually had 9 fouls to 6, so get around Hull. But yeah. I don't know if you watched this game. I watched the first half and then got dead bored of it. So
yeah, I was very similar. I watched probably the first half and then tried to stay up for the second half. I felt like probably about 5 to 10 minutes into the second half. Yeah, boring game. United, looking at the statistics, definitely deserved the win. And they left it late, but that's what the United of old used to do. They'd always leave it late, and they're back, obviously, along with City and Chelsea. And like you said before, having them three battling for the title is going to be very interesting this season.
And a battle it is indeed, as they're all the powerhouses of the EPL, and it's good to see them all performing well. Dude, the second last game of the game week, probably one of the worst games so far this season, it's got to be said. West Brom 0, Middlesbrough 0. what is there to say about this game?
There is... Middlesbrough had 95 long balls.
They had 53% possession. They had less shots on goal. West Brom actually winning that count 9-6. Just a 6 on target throughout the entire game.
How about we all just calm down a little bit? West Brom had 12 take-ons to 4. Superstars.
The Brendan Galloway effect. I am quite happy just to skip this game. There is really not much to say about it.
Yeah, look, you would not be wrong in saying that.
Yeah, all right, we're just going to move on to Manchester City versus West Ham United. Man City winning 3-1. This was an interesting game because I watched this game and I thought Man City were pretty decent value. They played some of the best football I've seen for a very long time. Raheem Sterling and Fernandinho scoring early in the first half. Raheem Sterling scoring a nice goal after a good Nolito cutback, and Fernandinho scoring an absolute brilliant header from one of the best set-piece takers in the EPL, in Kevin De Bruyne. And they didn't look like conceding. They were 2-0 up, just trudging along, doing what they like. Then Mikel Antonio actually rocks up at the back stick, heads home, and a few tails go up at West Ham. They actually push on.
A few tails.
Yeah, they push on. They try to get that equaliser. And they actually look pretty good, but Man City, to me, never look like, you know, conceding. And Raheem Sterling made a certainty of the victory in the 90th minute when he somehow squeezed in a ball that was literally on the line. And Sterling scoring a second of the game, continuing his very impressive start to the season. As Manchester City, again, the other team to go undefeated so far, sitting atop the table as it stands. Statistics read. we can't forget to input the statistics. They're very, very important in the game of football. Statistics read that Man City enjoyed 67% of possession and had 17 shots on goal to just the 5. So West Ham, despite getting their tails up after the first goal from Antonio, couldn't really produce much in the statistic world. did you watch this game?
Yeah, I did. I personally really enjoyed it, and I am very jealous of Manchester City right now. And I don't like Manchester City, especially considering they're affiliated with Melbourne City. And I'd be very excited if I was a Manchester City fan. If I was a Manchester City fan, I'd sit on my couch, pull down the trousers, get the lube out, have a nice little wank over every single game they play, because they play some beautiful football.
Okay.
They play some phenomenal football. Guardiola. I knew Guardiola was good, but fucking hell.
The only thing I can see happening is because they play a very weird setup in their formation where, you know, the CBs, centre-backs go up into midfield and So do the wing backs, and they literally only play like two at the back at times. So I can see them being exposed a couple of times by certainly the better teams in the comp, teams like Chelsea.
Little derby tonight.
We'll get to that when we go through the preview.
We will.
But that caps off all the games played in the last game week as we just have a look at the top goal scorers in the league at the moment. Sergio Aguero currently sits on 3 goals alongside Zlatan Ibrahimovic, leading the Golden Boot at the moment. On 2, we have a fair few players, but we'll go through them. We've got Christian Stuani from Middlesbrough, Diego Costa, Eden Hazard from Chelsea, Etienne Capoue from Watford. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Jermaine Defoe from Sunderland, Leroy Fer from Swansea City, Mikel Antonio from West Ham, Nolito from City, Coutinho from Liverpool, and Raheem Sterling also from City. So City have a fair few representatives in there. In the assist charts, Alvaro Negredo, Anthony Martial, Kevin De Bruyne, Santi Cazorla, and Wayne Rooney all have 2 assists each to lead it as it stands. Onto the table, and the 3 teams to gain maximum points out of the first 3 games are Manchester City, Chelsea, and Man United. Everton come in at 4th on 7 points, with also undefeated. Hull City in 5th, they're going down, with 2 wins from 3. Middlesbrough and Tottenham are the last 2 undefeated teams, having won 1 game and drawn twice. Into the relegation zones, and we have Sunderland, Crystal Palace, Watford, Bournemouth, and Stoke City all sitting on just the 1 point so far. Apart from that, not too much to say. Pretty expected positions on the table. Maybe Southampton at 15th, a little low. Liverpool at 11th. Arsenal at 8th. Maybe the notable ones that probably should be a little bit higher. But, you know, pretty exciting start to the season. Onto the transfer window, and the transfer deadline day came and went as we took our little hiatus from the podcast for a week due to the international break. Some interesting transfers went on. I want to bring up one that certainly got us, our tails wagging at Everton. is Moussa Sissoko, who held out for a move to Tottenham. Despite it looking very, very likely he was going to sign for Everton, Tottenham decide, hey, we don't value him at 16 million anymore. We're going to pay 30 mil for some reason. And bang, he signs for Tottenham. It just goes to show what the deadline day does to clubs. I mean, the whole window, they were just hanging out, you know, 16 mil final offer. That's what we want to value him at. And I don't blame him, because really, in my eyes, Sissoko is a player that's worth about 16 mil. If that, you know. I mean, in today's market, maybe 20, pushing it. But 30, we'll push it based off, you know, Euros and how he's performing in big games. You got to remember, he was with a team at Newcastle that was pretty average last season. So if he can, you know, go into a team like Tottenham and do well, might actually be a steal at 30 million. If he, probably not a steal at 30 million, but we'll see.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, he was in an average team at Newcastle. And what did he actually do at Newcastle, though? If you're meant to be a good player, shouldn't you be standing up and
not
performing?
Always. Not always. I mean, often you find players perform better around better players. So,
oh, 100%.
I mean, we saw that at the Euros. I mean, I don't know if that's just a case of his mentality and his attitude towards, you know, him playing at Newcastle as opposed to him playing in the Euro finals. I mean, that could be that. Or it could just be that he was surrounded by better teammates in the French squad and he performed better. In saying that, the game that he did perform better in, they're actually, you know, on the back foot for the most of the game, so it would have been similar to how he'd be at Newcastle. So, I mean, yeah, you know, you can look at it from certainly different angles, but in my opinion, you know, the Sissoko deal, I think he's a good signing for Tottenham. I don't think the valuation is right. But at the end of the day, you know, Newcastle did well. I mean, they got 30 million for a player who doesn't really do much for him. And they'd be laughing. I mean, it's a shame that for them that they only got that money so late on deadline day. They can't use it until January. Not saying that they didn't like have any money in the first place. They're a team that's been around for a while and got all the money that they need. They can spend what they want, but that would have been nice for them. Maybe have it a couple of days earlier just to have a go on deadline day. But you know, I think Newcastle done well. I think Sissoko is going to be a good signing for Tottenham. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think we won out on the deal. To be honest, I did not want to spend 30 million on Sissoko. He's a, like, I'm not going to sit here and say he's a shit player because he's not. But at the same time, I love Bolasie, but I would not want to be spending 55 million on Bolasie and Sissoko. As much as I wanted us to be spending money, I don't want us spending 55 million on Sissoko and Bolasie. He could do well at Tottenham. I think he will do pretty good at Tottenham, but not phenomenal, not 30 million worth. But if, like I've said with a lot of deals this window, if you've got the money, spend it. I know that we have the money, but at the same time, we're paying so much to get a new stadium, upgrade our stadium right now, pay out Martinez and all that stuff. But I'm happy with what we did, and I'm sure Tottenham fans wouldn't mind too much about getting Sissoko. Like, I know there's a fair few Tottenham fans that don't like it, but yep. At the same time, if you've got the money, spend it. And they lost Chadli to West Brom, I think, like a few hours before that, or maybe a day before that, I'm not too sure. I think it was like deadline day or something like that. But yeah, so they needed to replace Chadli. Like, I know Chadley's not a phenomenal player. Like, he's a good player, but he's not a Tottenham first 11 player, in my opinion. But at the same time, if they lost a winger to injury, like if they lost Lamela to injury, then who's going to replace Lamela? So they needed to make a signing. And I think it was a sort of a panic buy because they did, from the get-go, value him at 16 mil. And then with an hour left, just went bang and offered 30. But I guess they needed to do it because there was no other real option. So they needed to do it. They did it. And hopefully for their sake, it comes off, but hopefully it doesn't, because it'd be hilarious for it to turn into a horrible signing.
Yeah. And like, as you said, I mean, I didn't really want to spend that much money on a player like Sissoko, even though I think he's a good player. You know, I would have 10 million less than what we were offering at the very max, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Couple of other big signings we're going to touch on here. David Luiz to Chelsea. It literally came out of nowhere. I can't remember reading a thing on it. And then all of a sudden, he's literally he's signed for Chelsea. And we're just looking at it thinking, you know, what's going on here? I thought it was a piss take, to be honest, when I first saw it. I was like, oh, Chelsea back to... I mean, Luiz back to Chelsea from PSG. I'm like, oh, this is probably not going to happen. I thought it was just like making jokes and stuff and whatnot. And then... he signed. So, you know, I think they've done pretty well here. I don't think Luiz is the best defender, but he's a great player. Like, no doubt about it. Mm. And they've done pretty well here, I reckon.
Yeah, well, realistically, they sold him for like 50 mil and they bought him back for like 30 mil. So he's gone on a 2-year loan to France and they've gained 20 mil out of it. He's not a phenomenal defender. He can score a long shot or two. But it's not a bad player to have in your team. Like, just the characters that Chelsea now have, they've got Conte on the bench and they've got Diego Costa up front and David Luiz in defence. So it's going to make Chelsea a very, very interesting side, as usual, to watch. Especially in them rival games, like when they come up against United with Mourinho, Pogba, Ibrahimovic. Chelsea United is going to be very interesting games to watch in the future. But yeah, David Luiz, I think it's a good signing. I would love to have him at Everton. I don't think it's a phenomenal signing that people are making it out to be, because he's not. I don't have him in the bracket as a world-class centre-back, but at times he can definitely be a handy centre-back, because like that goal that he scored last season against Chelsea in the Champions League, like, the game was basically dead. There was nothing really going on in the game. Then he just pops up and scores a header. So,
he's got that attacking threat for a defender. It's good to have his team. On to the last signing we'll touch on for deadline day. Wilfred Bony going to Stoke. Certainly a puzzling transfer, but a really good one for Stoke, to be honest. I mean, Boney's had you know, pretty good seasons with Swansea. I'm actually reading a statistic here. In 54 games he made, he played for Swansea, he scored 25 goals, which is pretty decent for a player that's just coming into the Premier League at the time. So it didn't take long to settle in and score well. I mean, he enjoyed an okay time at Man City. I think early on he did pretty well, but as it just, you know, petered out, he didn't really get much of an opportunity. And Pep Guardiola didn't seem to give him any opportunity this season either. So I think moving to Stoke's probably a pretty good move for him. I'm actually surprised he didn't go back to Swansea. Just considering, you know, that they were the, you know, club that brought him in, made him the player that he is. Probably could have gone back there and fitted him quite nicely because the team hasn't changed too much from the time that he left. But I think for a club like Stoke that needs that firepower, sitting currently bottom of the Premier League, and you know they've only got you know Peter Crouch up front, Hossolu, Diouf's a pretty decent striker. I don't know if they'll play two up front with Diouf and Boney. Be pretty formidable. But yeah, I think they just needed that striker, and you know Boney's a brilliant striker and one that'll fit in pretty nicely at Stoke.
Yeah, well, it's a great signing for Stoke. I wanted him at Everton, to be honest. So he's a great player. He's a player that will complement players like Arnautovic, Shaqiri and Boyan behind him as well. So they've got a pretty good attack ahead of them. And they've got a reasonably solid defence as well when they've got Butland back. I don't know if Shawcross is injured or not. Or suspended, I'm not too sure. But when they've got them two back and they've got that attack, they're looking like a decent team, like I said before. They're still going to float around that 9th, 10th spot. I don't think they're going to push on too much further than that. I don't think they'll fall behind. But it's a great sign. I thought, like you, that he might go back to Swansea, but who knows if Swansea even made an offer for him. But I'd assume that if Swansea made a loan offer for him, that he probably would have gone back to Swansea. But I got no idea if they made an offer or anything, but it's a great signing for Stoke, and yeah, Stoke are looking pretty good, and I'm pretty glad that we got that game against one of the games against Stoke out of the way, because that attack is looking pretty dangerous.
Yeah, well, I'm happy we just played and we don't have to verse for a while. Well, unfortunately we have to go play them over there, so we'll see how that goes. But that pretty much wraps up the deadline day sort of shenanigans. I would say a pretty decent window. A few big signings went through, obviously pretty early on with Ibrahimovic and Mkhitaryan and all those.
And a Valencia.
And a Valencia. Dominic Calvert-Lewin. He's actually decent. I mean, given the benefit of the doubt, it would take at least a season to get into the first team, and he looks pretty good, so... after watching the highlights for that under-20s game that he scored in, he did pretty well previous to scoring the goal. So
take the big teams out of it, so like Chelsea, United, City and Liverpool, probably add them into it. Who do you think's had the best window?
Take out who?
Take the big teams, so take City, Chelsea, United, Arsenal and Liverpool out of it. Who do you think's had the better window? It's really difficult to have. Like, I reckon West Ham's had a decent window, but at the same time, they haven't signed the absolute phenomenal player.
I think Everton's got to be up there with one of the better windows then.
You know, bringing Palace had a decent one.
Idrissa Gueye and Stekelenburg were very, like, you know, people just looked over those signings and thought meh, but they turned out to be very, very good signings. Bolasie as well complements the team well.
I'd have Middlesbrough up there as well.
Yeah, I was just about to mention Middlesbrough with the Victor Valdez, although isn't, you know, the player that he used to be, is actually still a very decent signing. Brad Guzan as well. but they've got a very nice team, Middlesbrough, for a team that's just been promoted, probably the strongest out of the promoted teams.
Yeah, definitely.
Leicester City also had a okay window. I'll say okay just because they lost Kante early on.
Yeah.
But bringing in Slimani, who I didn't touch on, they brought in Slimani on deadline day. and Musa as well complements Vardy pretty well. I think they bought in Mendy as a replacement for Kante. I'm not too sure on that. But plays a similar position. And I'd say they'd probably be the teams that stood out. Who do you reckon's had the worst window?
I reckon Hull. Don't want to be too mean to Hull, but at the same time, like, I think pretty sure they made one other signing other than the bloke they got on Tribunal.
Who was that guy?
Oh, I've got no idea. But I'm pretty sure they made one signing on deadline day. I'm not 100% sure. But
they signed Ryan Mason.
That's okay. That's an okay signing. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure they've only got like 16 fit senior players right now.
Yeah, they probably should have gone about a bit more. But yeah, they didn't. And, you know, I'm not going to consider and complain about it. Southampton. Average window?
Average window up to Mane. The last few days because they got that Bouffal bloke or whatever his name is, and I reckon he's an absolute class signing.
Yeah.
And that, I'm not going to even attempt to say his name, but that bloke that they got from Bayern Munich.
Holzberg.
Yeah, that's the one. I love your German accent.
Pierre-Emil Holzberg.
Yeah, so they made a few good signings, but it doesn't make up for losing players like Mane and Pala and their manager. So, yeah. But I can't see them getting relegated, but at the same time, they're not going to be the team that they've been over the last few seasons.
No. All right, moving on to the this week's fixtures. Starting off tonight, massive, massive game. Made a little bit controversial due to the Aguero suspension, but the Manchester derby at Old Trafford, so much hype is surrounding this game. I mean, you've just got to look at the starts. Manchester City, 3 games, 3 wins, 9 goals. Manchester United, 3 games, 3 wins, 6 goals. You've got to look at the players in each team, like Ibrahimovic, Pogba, Rooney, Mkhitaryan, if he plays, Martial, all for United. That's brilliant attackers, and you got Manchester City. Obviously, Aguero is going to not play, so it'll be interesting to see who does play striker. I wouldn't be surprised if Iheanacho was given a start. But you got players like Silva, De Bruyne, Nolito, Sterling, all phenomenal attackers, and it shows that they're scoring pretty freely so far in the Premier League. But I personally think that Manchester United is going to win this game.
I think the Aguero suspension is absolutely massive. Like, I think it was the right call to suspend him, because you can't be getting away with that. Like, if that was, like, I know there's people that say Diego Costa is harshly treated and stuff, but he's not. He treated the way that he should be treated. But if that was Diego Costa, he'd be getting 6 or 7 weeks on the sideline, if I'm honest. So it was the right call, but it's completely changed my thoughts on this game. Going into this game, if there was Aguero, I'd probably lean toward the City win just because of what I said before about how they play. But who knows, really, because I rate Iheanacho as well. So you never know, he might step up and do what Rashford did last season in the derby. He might step up and, like, I know he's already made a name for himself, but he might step up and make a real name for himself and score a derby winner.
Yeah,
but I can't look past United right now with this squad they've got. I think I'm just going to lean towards a United 2-1 win, just on the basis because it's at home. That's my only thoughts on it, really, just because, like, if it was at the Etihad with No Aguero, I'd probably be leaning on a draw, but I just think United will just sneak it. I think it could be late as well, just to add some derby scenes.
Just going to get a bit of a fantasy input from you, because I have made the fantasy change this week, and it's a derby change. I've taken out Aguero with the view of bringing him back in when his suspension ends. And I bought in Ibrahimovic.
That's a good move. It's Ibrahimovic. Like, I've got Ibrahimovic in my team as well. I got rid of Kane a few weeks ago and got Ibrahimovic in.
Kane's shit. Although, interesting statistic on Kane is he's never scored in August.
Is it still August? No, September. No. yeah, fair enough. I remember last season it took him like 7 or 8 games to actually score his first goal.
Yeah.
So if that happened,
August without
scoring. But yeah, like if that's the case, like he probably needs to clean that up. But at the same time, he won the Golden Boot last season in the end. But he's not going to win it this season when he plays like Ibrahimovic. And if Aguero stays fit and not elbowing cunts, then yeah.
Smart.
Mm.
So you said United based on the home, did you?
Yeah, United 2-1.
Yeah, I'm going to go United 2-1 as well, I think.
You little copycat.
West Ham United versus Watford. I don't know what to think about this game. I don't really rate Watford, and West Ham okay, playing at home. Although West Ham haven't really shown much this season to prompt that sort of response, but... they're paying $1.91 on Bet365, which is very generous odds for West Ham to win. I'm going to go West Ham win maybe 2-0.
West Ham need a win, to be honest. Like, I know they got a win in their first game at the Olympic Stadium. But if they don't win this, then they're going to fall behind on the pack. I think they should win. But who knows with Watford these days. I can't really read Watford. I thought they were going to be average this season, but at the same time, they made a few reasonably good signings. I'm going to lean on a West Ham 1-0 win.
Stoke City versus Tottenham.
Good game.
Yeah. Not the Britannia, the Bet365 Stadium.
It's the worst name. It's a ridiculous name.
I've never seen anything worse. Tottenham sitting in seventh position. Stoke City sitting dead last on the table. Albeit 3 games in, doesn't mean too much. Stoke City probably have a bit of a better team than that position. Gives them... I don't even know what word I'm looking for, but yep, they're last. I think this is going to be a draw.
It depends who's fit for Stoke, really. Like, I'm pretty sure Butland's still a fair way away. And it depends if Kane's firing. Like, I assume Boney would start and Boyan and Arnautovic, and I'm pretty sure Shaqiri's fit. So who knows with that, but I'd probably be similar, to be honest. I reckon a 1-1 or a 2-2 draw. I reckon it'd be a good game to watch, but yeah, I'd be leaning on a draw for this one. I can't really split the two teams right now. I think Tottenham are definitely the better team, but Tottenham usually do start seasons reasonably slow.
Yeah. Middlesbrough versus Crystal Palace. This is such a dull game. But I will say Middlesbrough, I think, will win. At home, I'm hoping Stuani plays well for my fantasy team. But I think Middlesbrough will get a 1-0 win.
Yeah, I think Borough will get up too. Palace will be improved with players like Benteke and Flamini in their team. But yeah, I reckon Borough will get up 2-0 in this. I think they're looking reasonably good. I think they're going to be a very big dark horse for a top 10 spot, to be honest. I've watched a few of their games. I didn't watch their last game, thankfully. But, yeah, I've watched a few of their games and they are looking really good. So, yeah, I'll go 2-0, Borough win.
Burnley versus Hull. Just a few dull games tonight, to be honest.
My God. What a game this is going to be.
I actually think Burnley's going to win.
At
the Turf Moor.
Turf Moor. I'm going to go a 3-3 draw, just because we're saying it's going to be a dull game.
I love that.
And then they'll just come out and just go bang. Andre Gray is just going to score a hat-trick. And the guy from Tribunal is going to score a hat-trick for Hull.
I don't know who that is. I've got to find that out.
So he's the bloke from League 2, so I doubt he's going to score a hat-trick in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
I don't know. I think both teams are probably going to go down, so I've got no idea what to say about that game.
On to the last dull game of the round, AFC Bournemouth versus West Brom. Oh, no. I've got to be honest, 0-0.
Yeah. Jordan Ive might try and crack one from about 40 yards, but yeah, I can't see anything else.
Yeah, then it'll hit the post, it'll be worth 30 mil.
I don't know what's going on with this case. Who did Hull sign Chadley? So Chadley might do something.
West Brom signed Chadley.
Yeah, that's the one. Hull didn't sign anyone. I can't see anything. Oh my god, the games tonight are fucking horrendous. Other than the derby, I'm definitely going to be tuning into Stoke versus Tottenham most likely.
The next game, Arsenal v Southampton.
No, I think this game for shit ass.
Yeah, maybe, probably. Arsenal, not the best of starts. One win, one draw, one loss in the first three. Southampton, obviously, off to a poor start as well. I think Arsenal will win 2-0.
Yeah, I'm similar. I'll go an Arsenal 2-0 win. They'll score reasonably early, and then they'll score late, just because, I don't know, I'm a prediction genius. But I don't know really what to say on this game, because I don't know what to say about Southampton, because they've signed some okay players, but they've lost some really good players in their manager, so who knows really what Southampton are going to pull up, but I think Arsenal will get up.
On to the last game tonight, and we have Liverpool versus Leicester City.
Yeah, that is a good game tonight.
Yes, it's a shame it's at 2:30 in the morning, but we'll still watch it regardless. Leicester, as we touched on before, are doing an okay start. One win, one draw, one loss, as have Liverpool, both sitting on 4 points. This could be a really, really tight game. I think Liverpool will win, just based on, I know that they've had average result, like a few average results so far, but you've got to remember their result against Arsenal, that 4-3 away, even though Arsenal weren't fielding the strongest of teams, that 20-minute patch that they scored that 4 goals, they looked, you know, one of the best teams in the Premier League. And they can recreate that sort of game. You know, even against Tottenham, they looked pretty good in parts and probably deserved to win, even though statistics said it was a draw. And it did end up being a draw, but I think they'll get up for sure.
I reckon Liverpool will probably win. I think Leicester will come out the gates pretty hard. I don't know. Fast. I don't know what word to really use there.
Tough.
I'm not as good with words as what you are. I apologise. They'll come out and attack. But they're my words.
Really?
Nah, but I think Liverpool probably gets up 2-1.
Yeah, I think so too.
I hope not, but they probably will.
Second last game of the round is Swansea City at home to Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea will win. I don't know what to think about Swansea. I think if it was at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea would win about 5 or 6-0. But because it's in Wales, I think Chelsea will probably hold to about a 2-0 win, maybe. I don't know what to think about Swansea at the moment. I'd hope they don't go down, because I don't mind Swansea, but they haven't got too much going for them.
Yeah, I think they're pretty trash this season, Swansea.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea will win this game. Final game of the week is Sunderland at home to Everton. Interesting game. Everton enjoying a very good start of the season. Sunderland, not so much. David Moyes hosting Everton for the second time in his career that he plays at home.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I think this will be either a draw or a very minor one-goal win for Everton.
Well, we're the better team. Everton are definitely the better team. But it's just a matter on how we really pull up for the game, really. I'm happy we've got the Tuesday morning. I usually have the Tuesday morning games, but I'm happy we've got this one, just so it gives us a bit more time after the international break to get some training in with the new signing that we made. Nah, but I think this is the only good time to really have a Tuesday game, Tuesday morning game for us, because I hate Tuesday morning games, but I think we'll win. Just on the basis that we're the better team. I don't think the fact that we're away should play too much of a factor, because I don't really mind playing away these days. I think we'll win maybe 2-1. Sunderland are good. They've made a few decent signings. And Moyes, I think, I've never in my life said that Moyes is a shit manager. I think he's a good manager and he'll do well for Sunderland, but I feel like we'll just get the chockies.
Well, that is all we have time for today. We're going overtime, actually. So,
good luck in your game today, Jordan.
Thanks, baby.
That's okay.
Obviously, we'll be back next week for another episode of JJ's Football Fix, your home of everything EPL, following the conclusion of this week. And we'll be recapping this week's games and having a look at the news for the upcoming week. But until then, we'll hope that you're all watching the EPL, and if you got any questions for us, you know, just leave a comment on the SoundCloud post, whatever it's called on SoundCloud, and we will get back to you if anyone even decides to comment. No, we're looking at those things. We want you guys to be involved in the discussion, even though there's only about 20 of you. It'd always be nice to have that little bit of an audience engagement. Jake, did you have a good time today?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I had a better time last night. it was good. We've done reasonably well again. It was good to have the week off, I feel, to refresh ourselves and get right into the season now, even though there's probably another international break in like a month. But yeah.
I think there is. All right, everyone, until then. Goodbye.
I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh? Waiting on this for a while now.